tortoise. This is the end result of your mutant, your mutation. You become a tortoise. You have a soft body. You're attackable under it. You are so screwed up, it's not even funny. Amen. I can, like this everywhere. Everywhere I touchy, touch, soft body. But you got a hard shell in which you withdraw into. Well, that means you're a twisted, evil demon who controls Tartarus. You say, wow, a tortoise means that? Yeah. An evil demon who does control, and you love to control. So he says, you love to control tortoise?
Yeah.
Here's what you control. You control Tartarus. I said, oh, wow, I better look up Tartarus, see what you're all in control of. Well, it means an infernal abyss below Hades. Worse than hell, yes. An infernal abyss worse than hell, where Zeus hurled the rebel Titans. Well, what is this Titan stuff? I mean, what's this problem now? The mutes, the mutations, are fighting with the Titans. So the mutation, what you are, now is fighting against what you were, because you know what Titan means? Any person of great power, great strength, great size, and great ability. So now you have the perpetual split personality, one fighting against the other. So what does your mutation do with your Superman mentality? Sends it to hell where it belongs? So you become your own worst enemy. Now here is your problem. Encased in all of this, you are fighting you. It's the mutation, the tortoise, the teenage mutant, the one that has no physical, no spiritual father, no one under authority, fighting against and throwing into hell all these notions they had about how wonderful they are. Now, the older you grow, the more you realize you're not as super as you thought you were. So now you start criticizing yourself, causing your life to be hell. Well, what is it? It's the teenage mutant tortoise putting the other part of you into hell, and back and forth, and back and forth. And in all of that, what is the problem? Virgin birth. Virgin birth as an individual, virgin birth ideas, and I can always tell your virgin birth ideas. It's things you implement without asking anyone else. You just decide because you're you and you're God. And you looked around and you said, let there be parties or let there be whatever. And you did it on your own. It becomes a virgin birth, doomed, 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 be criticized, crucified, and nullified. And it's not coming out in power and in glory, because then Jesus will have to share his power and his glory with your mutation, and that's not going to work. Did you get anything out of this?
Yeah.
You see how what a screwed up mess we are?
Yeah.
You understand how now how involved it is? Do you think that it took some little bit of time to do this? Do you have any idea just how much I had to learn about turtles and tortoises and mutations and study psychoanalysis and psychology and find out why do they think this? Why? What do you think? I had to melt all that down and boil it all down just so that you can sit there and just kind of just absorb it as royalty almost. And I did all the work. Now, why don't you appreciate what an exalted position that you're in? Instead of spitting it back at me, you gotta have the decency to at least swallow it, see how it tastes. It just might work. And I'll tell you one thing, after eating virgin placentas all your life, you would think that this would be very, very attractive to you. I would think so. Because I've had my, is it soup yet? And I said, no, that's never going to happen. I'm not eating that stuff ever again. I know it's insensitive. I know that it's repulsive to the mind. But look at your spirit. Look what you'll feed your spirit. And the minute I turn it into something physical, you say, ooh, that's gross. How could he talk that way? Well, what makes you think your spirit likes it any better than you would physically? The fact of the matter is, without a man, you're in deep, 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 deep trouble. I thank God. I praise God. Isaiah, thank you, brother. My man. My man for today. He's been my man for several weeks now. I'm kind of fickle that way. It might be Matthew or somebody else next month. But I always have a man. I always have a man. I'm not saying you should be the same way. But that's my man. He taught me all of this. He showed me all of this. He walked me through this all the way through. I presented to you no virgin births. None. None save Jesus Christ. Every idea came through a man, to a man. Somewhere along the line, you can take it or you can lump it. It doesn't matter to me. I'll take it, and I received it, and I delivered it. If you want to lump it, go ahead. It doesn't matter to me. Brother Rick, would you close the service? The opportunity and the honor of preaching, teaching, and hearing your word. We thank you, Father, for the truth. We thank you, Lord, that you've taken the time to come and speak with us this evening. That, Father, that you're talking not only about us, but to us, Lord. And Heavenly Father, we accept it as that, and we thank you for the truth. We thank you for the light. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 54:4, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth. That's the crux of the message again, is forgetting the shame of your youth. Now, I have tried many, many different ways to do it spiritually, intellectually, hopefully, prayerfully, every kind of way that there is. So as I said this morning, I decided to bring it down to your level, hoping that maybe you could understand it if I just knocked it down a rung or two. It is obvious from this morning that it still wasn't quite low enough, because I still got a lot of, huh? So I'm going to try it again. The shame of the youth. The shame of your youth. Because once you forget the shame of your youth, the scripture goes on and says, thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. And I'll show you how that means your depression and your rejection. But by way of a little bit of review, let me share with you again what shame means. Not only shame, but the shame of your youth. It meant the feeling, the condition, and the cause of shame, which is an idol. And if you remember from this morning, we learned that an idol is an image of a god, not an image of God, but an image of a god used as an object or instrument of worship. So it's an image, something that reflects you. You see, that's what's wrong with most people. They want a God that reflects them instead of them reflecting God. And that's what's wrong with your children. See, they want someone that reflects them. That's why when you don't agree with them, you're not reflecting them. And that's why they have a problem with you, because you have a problem with a God that doesn't reflect you, a pastor that doesn't reflect you, a husband or a wife that doesn't reflect you, and so on down the line. If you remember this morning, I tried to bring it down to a level where you could understand it, of what idols mean, how idols get into your thinking. And I chose two idols, very popular idols, Superman and the group known as the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'll review very quickly again how this happens. I'll also review very quickly the fact that Superman and Teenage Turtles are so popular doesn't mean that's what caused the problem with you. They're just reflecting what you are. So people that are into Superman and Teenage Mutant Turtles, that's your mirror, that's your God. That's a reflection of you. That's what you are. And that's why that appeals to you so much. And don't get so upset because your children are into those things, because they're also imaging you. And I'll show you again this evening how it's all plain stupidity in the name of entertainment, which is really the manifestation of where you are spiritually. What got you into Teenage Turtles was Superman mentality. And by way of review, you remember Superman was a little child who was sent away by his father, abandoned by his father, sent to others to raise him. This is a child that had no male authority in their lives. It was vested in someone else in this particular story. It was two strangers on earth. It can be the wife alone. It can be in-laws, outlaws, the system, teachers, friends. It doesn't matter. Someone else other than the Father being the spiritual head. Superman had no male authority. None whatsoever. His father sent him away so that others could raise him. He was, and it causes, you know, it's getting be caused by lazy fathers, weak fathers, divorced fathers, absent fathers, retarded fathers, or fatherless fathers. And this child develops a double revolving personality. Mild manner reporter for the Daily Planet. This is a said, I don't do anything wrong. Why, I'm perfect. I'm Clark Kent. I wasn't me. It's the kids, it's mom, it's dad, it's everybody's wrong but me. I'm mild-mannered Clark Kent. That's one side of the personality. The minute you challenge this mild-mannered reporter, who's always denying that there ever anything wrong with them, the minute there's a crisis or a tension, they change on you and become Superman. They change personality. And this child becomes more powerful than a locomotive, faster than a speeding bullet, and able to leap the tall piles of crap they give you as excuses at a single bound, by the way. They're now able to break all of the physical laws. They can eat candy and not get hurt. They can do anything and it's not going to hurt them. That's for old people, people that don't understand. I'm Superman. I can do anything. When you're really saying is, I had no father. I have no father. I have no male authority. I recognize no authority over me. Now, parents that try to deal with that have a serious Superman mentality of their own. They also have no male authority over them. Either if it's a wife, she has no husband, or she will not put herself in subjection to a man of God, a pastor. Or even if there is a man, a so-called husband in the house, who should have the authority, he has no authority for the simple reason that he's not under authority. If you remember, there's a story in the Bible about a centurion who came to Jesus and said, if you just speak the word, I know I'll be healed. And Jesus marveled at his faith, and Jesus kind of like asked him why. I'm paraphrasing. This is the word according to Rube. You can check it out. It's there. I just paraphrased a little bit. And the centurion told him, he says, look, I understand. He says, I'm a man under authority. So when I speak, my servants go, and if I say come, they come. Because I'm under authority. When I speak, it's like Caesar speaking. So all these people that are under my authority, I know they're not obeying me because of me. They're obeying me because of the authority that I'm under. I'm under Caesar. I'm a centurion. I'm a man who's in charge of 100. A centurion. I'm in charge of 100. And when I say to those 100, go, they go. And when I say come, they come. So he says, I know you're a man under authority too, speaking of Jesus. So I know that if you but speak the words, the very demons will obey you because you're a man under authority as I'm a man under authority. And Jesus looked at him and says, I've not seen so great a faith. No, not even in Israel. A man who understood that to be in authority means to be under authority. You see, parents, you don't have that. You refuse to accept that. So you are raising a race of supermen and super babies, super girls, because you're super mom. As a matter of fact, I see idiots walking all over the mall saying super dad and super mom. And I know what's trailing behind them, some super fool. Super fools. Now, when these super fools grow up, they say, oh, candy doesn't hurt me. This doesn't hurt me. That doesn't hurt me. I'm Superman. Watch it, super fool. Because you will grow up to believe you can smoke and not get emphysema or cancer because you think you can eat candy and not get diabetes. Well, the first example is going to be you watch in a couple years here, super fool. When the zits start popping out all over and your girl's going to look at you and say, ooh, then you're going to realize you're super dumb, not Superman. But you see, I wish I could tell you candy was as far as you're going to go. You're going to grow up to think you can drink and not become drunk. You're going to think you can drink and drive. You may kill somebody. Hopefully it'll be you, not some innocent individual, if you insist on that. God forbid. But if you do, you go right ahead. Please, if you do that, pick a wall to run your car into, not some poor innocent individual who had nothing to do with this. So see, this individual grows up to think they can smoke and not get cancer or emphysema, drink without becoming alcoholic, smoke marijuana without frying their brains, and they think they can talk sensibly without thinking, without knowing. Well, how else could they be not super? See, you're older than they are. See, these super children ain't got no job, have no money, have no apartment, have no car, can't buy anything, don't know anything, they're still in school, they barely know how to spell, read, and write, and they already know more than you do. Now that's a super person, isn't it? They would think. But you see, the problem is that they think there's something. The reality is there's no authority over them. Now understand this, when Jesus Christ gave authority to human beings, he gave it to everybody. But he kept it in check by saying, I will put under the authority the whole church, the pastor. I will put the pastor in authority over all the men. I will put the men in authority over all the women. I will put the women in authority over all the children. That's the only way the authority can be used and not hurt everyone. But you see, somewhere along the line, someone breaks the chain of command. And as I said this morning, Clark denies he's Superman, and Superman denies he's Clark. But they're the same person. And his super disguise, as I said, and it's you can see right through it. Children, I didn't do that. See, they have a good disguise just like Superman. They just wear glasses, that's all. And that's supposed to mean you can't recognize him. So Superman now is an individual who has no male authority, sent away so someone else could raise him or her. Well, about the time they develop a little bit, they become teenage mutant ninja turtles. If you remember from this morning, teen meant two things. The years from 13 to 19 of a person's age, but it also meant a stage of your life in which you have injury, pain, anger, wrath, grief, suffering, and a desire for revenge. That pretty well has described my teen years. Unfortunately, my teen years went way beyond 19, as yours have. I thank God I can point back to a time and said I was no longer a teenager as of that time. Unfortunately, with some of you, we're looking forward to that date, not backward. And that's what this message is all about. Those times, see, we have people in this church, and I'm one of them. I became a teen when I was about 3 years old. When I start realizing that I was rejected, I was sent away by this man who didn't want to have anything to do with me. And he sent me to someone else to raise me and did nothing for me whatsoever. So I became a teenager very early. I was introduced into injury and pain and anger and wrath and grief and suffering and vengeance very early in my life. I not only hated fathers, but I hated those that had fathers, although I envied them, and I didn't understand why. And that's why Superman was my hero to begin with. Because here was someone that, in spite of the fact that he was rejected by father, became somebody. Not someone necessarily to be envied, but it was somebody to be messed with, someone to be reckoned with. Now, how did you start? How do teenagers, how do children, how do human beings get involved into this teen mentality? You have to be in a teen mentality before mutant turtles appeal to you. It's just not an accident that this was done. You have to be a teen first. You have to be introduced very quickly into injury. I have never seen yet a family of any shape, any size, or any description in which the father was not under authority, and therefore the mother not under authority to the father's authority. I've never seen a family like that where we didn't have a family full of teenagers. Everybody was injured, in pain, full of anger, wrath, grief, and suffering. From this morning, if you remember, injury meant, if it comes from two words, injus or injuse or injustes or injusticia, which is a Latin word which means injustice. So injury literally means not right, not just. In other words, injury doesn't mean something is necessarily illegal. It means it's just not right. It's not just. In other words, parents, you can do whatever you want, break whatever rules you want. You can be Superman, but the children can't. You can be not under authority. You can go to church whenever you damn please, or if you please. And if there's something else more important to do, don't go, because you're not under authority. When God said, keep the Sabbath holy, that excluded all super beings. You're not under authority. When God said, do not judge, that didn't include you. You're super. You're beyond God's authority. You're not under authority. So when you tell your children to do something and they do not recognize your authority, the problem is you don't recognize authority. So you see, it's injustice. It's not right for you to require that of your children that you're not willing to do yourself. That injury, that injusticia, will lead to pain. And pain means mental or physical distress caused by great anxiety, great anguish, great grief and disappointment, which leads to anger, which is a feeling of displeasure from injury and mistreatment and opposition, and always shows itself in a desire to fight back at whoever you decide is causing your difficulty. And of course, that's always the closest one to you who happens to be weaker than you. Isn't it amazing that men in this room never argue with me, but they do argue with their wives? Isn't that amazing? How come? Because you're a coward, that's why. Because if you were right, you'd have no problem telling me the same thing you tell your wife. But you don't. Why is it that your children don't say no to me? Why is it they don't argue with me? Because they're cowards too. Because I'm a man under authority, that's why. It doesn't mean I'm right. It doesn't mean I'm better than you. It just means I'm a man under authority. Oh yes, Brother Reuben, he's under the authority of Jesus Christ. I'd like to be able to say that, but I'd be lying. I'm under the authority of Isaiah right now. Just another human being, just like me, who also not even happens to live on this earth right now, and hasn't for several thousands of years. But he's my authority. And I'm only telling you what he told me. And I'm trusting that what he told me, the Holy Spirit told him, and Jesus told the Holy Spirit, and the Father told Jesus. I'm trusting that. And this guy is dead and gone. And you have trouble with a real live human being. Shame on you, teenage turtle. You see, the problem is this teen mentality is an age. It's not a time in your life, it's an age in your life. An age means a stage in your life. And stage means a place where a stop is made on a journey. It also means a place where you act out something that you're not. Where you pretend to be something that you're not really. And you've seen the examples of grown women and men who try to act like teenagers. They never got out of the stage, did they? They still dress like teenagers, wear makeup like teenagers. And that's disgusting, by the way. When the mascara starts caking in the pockets under their eyes, that's kind of disgusting. And when the eyeshadow and all the goop starts caking and the wrinkles every time they smile, and it makes little lines in there that stay there, and they look like cat whiskers that you paint on, that doesn't look good. And everybody will say, yes, it looks very bad to see an older woman like that trying to dress like a teenager. I'll tell you something that's just as bad, an 8 or a 9 year old trying to dress and act like a grown woman. That's sickening and disgusting. It doesn't matter if you're trying to get there too fast or you're not willing to leave. What is this fascination with the, quote, teen years? It's a time of injury, pain, anger, wrath, grief, and suffering. And it's a stage that most people refuse to leave. But now that you're into this teenage, you become a mutant. And understand this, the problem started because there was no father. No male authority. He might have been there, but he didn't do his job. So now the family becomes a family of mutants, teenage mutants. Men and women who are trying to act younger than they are. They don't want the responsibility. And youngsters who shouldn't have the responsibility, who are trying to run things. Saddest condition you will see. When you have a husband and a wife, or one of them who doesn't want the responsibility, can't handle it, just doesn't want it. They have more important things to do. And in that same family, children who say, I'll do it. I'll be the father, I'll be the mother. Well, all you have is a mixture of mutations. Oh, I know they make it look like it's fun on the cartoons, but I'm telling you, there's some spiritual manifestations behind this. They're mutations, they're mutants. Now, if you remember from this morning, the word mutant means to change in form, nature, or qualities. A sudden variation of some inheritable characteristic as distinguished from a variation resulting from a generation to generation gradual change. In other words, families change usually by generation to generation, and the change is gradual. So when there's a husband and wife and husband, this is the old days now, the old-fashioned days, the pioneer days. There was no such things as divorces. Husband and wife got married and they raised their children, and wife didn't come home saying, I am woman and I brought home the bacon. She knows her job is to fry it. That's it. And shut up. You fry it. We'll eat it. And he brings it home. But you are a woman now. So now all of a sudden we have sudden variations as distinguished from variations resulting from generation or gradual changes from generation to generation. Some mutation, in other words, it's when someone makes a radical change, a change that's not even characteristic of them. And a mutant, especially a mutant turtle, is someone who can be very cool, very calm, very collected, and all of a sudden, some little thing will happen to set them off, and they become a mutation, a sudden and abrupt change. For little or no explanation, you got a mutation on your hands. And where is the problem again? No male authority. Now, if you remember, this abrupt change, this word mutant means an abrupt change in cells that is transmitted only to daughter cells and can be inherited only in plants that reproduce asexually. In other words, a mutation can only happen in living organisms that reproduce without a man. That's what basically mutation means. It means to bring about a change without a man. Now, you bring about a change spiritually without a man, and you've got a mutation. That's why you have every kind of denomination that there is. Because they didn't bring about those changes through these men in the book. Somebody decided they were going to bypass the authority of the Word of God, so they come up with a mutation, some sudden variation and change from the established Word of God. So they didn't need a man. In your families, whenever you go against the authority, you will produce a mutant. You'll produce a mutation for the simple reason that you are trying to produce something without a man. See, that's what mutant means. That means an organism that can reproduce or effect a change without male cells. And they can be transformed or transmitted only from female to female. There is no male involved, no male necessary. Sounds like the feminist movement, doesn't it? Sounds like you've come a long way, baby. You're a lot closer to hell now than you've ever been. But you see, the problem here is, again, that this mutation, these changes come without a man involved. Absolutely not necessary. Now, the difficulty, as I said this morning, began when you grew up in a home where there was no physical man, no spiritual head. A physical being wasn't there, either because he was too weak, too lazy, or he was gone. Now you grew up and you became, quote, 20. You were out of the teens. And somewhere along the line, you got born again. And now God said, now I have to give you a man, or you're going to make the same mistake spiritually that you made physically. You're going to try to go through your spiritual life without having a man, so that everything spiritually that you produce is going to be a mutant, a mutation, something that requires no man. Which means then Jesus is not necessary, and these men that wrote the Bible is not necessary, and certainly a man who preaches the Bible becomes just as unnecessary, because everybody's working on a mutant mentality. So as a result, no men needed, no men wanted. And how did Satan first start the problem in the garden? Cut the man out of the picture. He didn't go and try to talk the man into it. That's impossible. He went through the woman. He knew that the woman could get to the man. Now, that's the way it's always been, and that's the way that it still is. So how did Satan affect that abrupt mutation, that change from paradise to hell, to being thrown out of the garden? How did that abrupt change? It came in one day. In one day. We don't know how long Adam and Eve were in the garden. We don't know how long they enjoyed that, but we do know one thing. The change from God's children, blessed, provided for, came in one day. It didn't take generations. It didn't take starting to get in a bad habit and lie a little more and lie a little more and become a drug addict or start smoking the leaves off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's not what it took. One day. And what did it do? It took an asexual reproduction, a mutation in which no man was needed, no man was allowed. This deal was done between Eve and the serpent. Now remember what happened. When she ate, nothing happened. Then the Bible said she gave to her husband, and he did eat. Then their eyes were opened. So you see, Eve had to play a real role in bringing down her husband. Now, wives, I hope you get this. Your husband didn't trip and fall on his own. He didn't trip and fall on his own in the garden. He didn't trip and fall on his own in your marriage. You helped bring him down with your asexual mutant mentality, which you thought was so good when you brought yourself from under the authority of a pastor and a husband, but now you rue the day when your children now are mutants and are telling you, up yours, mama. You tell them to do something, yo mama. They're not going to do what you tell them now. Why? Because they're super now. They've become as gods. They're now asexual as well. They can produce things without a man. You taught them how, mama. And dad, you're the same. You taught them how. You taught them it's not necessary to have a man in authority over you. You taught them that Jesus and the centurion were playing some kind of a word game. And when the centurion said, I am a man under authority, so that's why people obey me. And when Jesus acknowledged that this man said, I know that you're a man under authority, so the spirits are going to do what you say, not because of you, but because of the authority. You're trying to tell me that's all hogwash. That doesn't work. Well, if we look at your life and what you've done, we know that it does work. and your way doesn't. Because asexual means, by definition, reproducing without the union of male and female germ cells. Reproducing without a male. And you know there are plants and living organisms who reproduce without a male. They're all female. And they're sub-organisms, but they're organisms. Some plants and some living organisms that reproduce asexually. In other words, as I said this morning, virgin births. A birth in which no man is necessary. Now, here's what happens, ladies. You now start thinking, and you men too, because see, you want to do it without a man. You want to figure out life without a man. You want to produce something without a man. So your wife wants to produce something without a man. So now the house is full of virgin births, which of course qualify to be Jesus Christ. The problem is we got too many. Everybody wants into the virgin birth routine. So what's the big argument? Well, because you want me to sing Silent Night. Holy Night. Round yon virgin, mother and child. You want us all to sing to you and your idea. This thing that you did without a man. Now, when the Virgin Mary did it, that was an act of the living God. You and I can't do that. Mary didn't do that by herself. That was ordained of God. She was picked out specifically to show that that could happen. And what would be born of that would be an individual with authority. Nobody can tell him what to do. He had to be willing to go to the cross. He had to be willing. No one could tell him. Why? Because he was virgin born. There was no man involved. No earthly man involved. And they said, never a man spake like this man. We can't do nothing with him. It wasn't until Jesus went to the garden and decided to give himself up willingly that they were able to take him. Now, you want, lady, to make your child a virgin birth? You want to train them against the wishes of your husband? And husband, you want to train against the teachings of the Bible? And what you've made is you've made a virgin birth out of your wife, which means she doesn't have to mind you. She's not under your authority. She's a virgin birth. Why is she a virgin birth? Because you didn't need a man for that. You produced it by yourself. So as a result, no one's under authority. Everybody only does what they want to do. Well, the problem becomes, as I said this morning, a child that's raised with only one parent taking most or all the work raises a mutant who will grow up believing and acting like he or she is Lord. And you'll live to regret that day. A person who raises a child and wants no spiritual authority backing it up, makes their own decisions according to what they think, is perpetrating a virgin birth. There is no spiritual man involved. You can't run back to your daddy now. You're past the age, civilly, from the civil law. You're not under that. Besides, you've been born again. You've been told you have a different father, which means now that father should be reproducing. You and the father ought to be reproducing. The problem is you try to cut out the father and reproduce by yourself, Holy Mary, Mother of God. And everything you produce, of course, becomes a virgin birth. And that's why you are so determined that your ideas are right. And you know what amazes me? As many times as you've come up with the same sick ideas, and as many times as they've been taken to Calvary and crucified, you still try the same thing. Not understanding that the problem is basically and essentially that you're a mutation. There is no man involved in this reproduction. Now the sad end of the story is you become a teenage mutant turtle. And turtle comes from the word tortoise, which means a reptile with a soft body encased in a hard shell into which it can withdraw. very soft body, very touchy, very sensitive. You can't tell them anything. You can't point out, very soft body. But they're in a hard shell, and they withdraw in there, and there's no way you can get to them. They've become a tortoise. You can't talk sense to them. You can't appeal to them. You can't, see, they withdraw. They're very vulnerable because their body is soft. They're wrong. They're sensitive, but they've got this hard shell. And they withdraw in there, and you can't touch them. You can beat on that shell all you want, and you make absolutely not even a dent in their mentality. Why? Because they've become a tortoise. They don't listen. They've withdrawn into the shell. Well, now we look up and say, what does tortoise mean? My God in heaven, what's this man talking about? You look up the word tortoise, and it means an evil demon controlling hell. Tartarus. And Tartarus, if you remember, means an infernal abyss between below Hades, where Zeus hurled the rebel titans and punished all of the wicked, all of the ones that did not. See, it's kind of a counterfeit or another side of the story of Jesus Christ. Everybody that doesn't accept the Lord gets thrown to hell, don't they? Now, how many times have your children, in effect, told you, go to hell? Well, what's the matter? You're not obedient. You haven't accepted them as Lord. Everybody that does not accept the Lord goes to hell. And here's the problem with your Lord. He or she is not willing to die for you. Well, hell, they won't even suffer for you. They won't tell you what time it is. Now, that's a bum Lord. And they will tell you to go to hell if you don't accept them as Lord. So you see, you have a teenage mutant ninja tortoise. Now, do you think those things became popular and someone just accidentally thought of that and then children just kind of got enamored with that and they don't know? I'll tell you why they're popular. Because this is what's going on in children right now. We've got too many divorces in this world. We've got too many homes where I am woman. And there is no male authority. Everything is running, going straight to hell. And I'm not even so concerned about the ones out there because they don't know any better. I'm concerned about the families that are sitting in here who simply will not accept a man. They want to do things without a man. They're man enough themselves. Well, you see, how come you're not man enough? How come you don't say to your wife, well, yes, I'd like to have a child, sweetheart, but I think I'll do it by myself. How come you don't, that doesn't appeal to you? You sure want help then, don't you, young lover? You don't think in terms of, don't bother me now. Woman, I am man. I'm going to have a child. I want to reproduce. I want to leave posterity. I want to have a son or a daughter. Don't bother me. I'm going off to the hills to get romantically involved with me. And I'll be back in 9 months. I don't think so. But this is the same individual who would never think of reproducing physically without the other partner. That's the same person that wants to reproduce spiritually without a partner. Just by yourself, just because you're you. Asexually, in other words. Which means if there isn't the two, the result is a mutation. A mutant. Now, for those individuals that don't understand this, let me go a little bit further with you on this. The word says, you shall forget the shame of your youth. And I told you now what the shame meant. Now we need to deal just a little bit with what the word, where we go from that, what the end result of that is. What happens with such individuals? What's the answer? Where do we go from here? So we're a bunch of turtles. Okay, big deal. You've put us in our place. All right. We jump around the place with headbands, and we don't know what the hell we're doing. All right, I'm glad you agree with me. Now I'm going to share with you what to do. It says, fear not. You'll forget the shame of your youth, and you shall forget, you shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. Now, I'm going to tell you that, I've been through my teen years. You thought that teenage mutant turtle thing didn't affect you. But I'm going to share with you now where it caused widowhood. And I'm going to tell you with your children, you're setting them up for widowhood. Because after the shame of the youth comes, thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. The word remember means not to think about, not to mention, not to think on, and not to have a memento anymore. In other words, nothing in your life anymore to remind you of those times when you try to go it alone. No more mementos. See, the problem is, God says, look, you have too many mementos in your life. This teenage mutant turtle thing, every time you try to do something without the Lord, it gives you a reproach of your widowhood, a memento, something to remember. Thou shalt not remember anymore. Thou shalt not have a memento anymore of the fact that you're a widow. Well, what are mementos? What causes mementos? Because you see, if you don't know what causes them, you won't know what to stop. I'm only telling you what starts them so that if you stop doing that, then that stops them automatically. It's not like you got to do some great physical or spiritual thing. Just stop doing the things that caused it. Well, we have to stop mementos. Now, you know what a memento is. Most people do. You just don't know all that it is. Memento really comes from a Latin practice in the church founded on Seven Hills, the Catholic Church. And it means essentially either of two prayers in the canon of the Mass. Now, this is what memento means now. You need to understand when you're into photo albums and remembering and anniversaries and trying to mark this and mark that. No, it's my anniversary. It's the day we first kissed. It's the last time we saw each other. It's the first time we hugged. You would think you'd want to forget those things. But you see, you want to have all these mementos. Well, let me tell you what memento means. It's either of two prayers in the canon of the Mass, one for the living and one for the dead. And the beginning of the memento, the beginning word, is memento, which basically means you are praying for yourself and what you used to be. Just don't want to change, do you? One for the living and one for the dead. Memento also means anything serving as a reminder, a warning, or a souvenir. Now, you would think you would be up to here with reminders and souvenirs of all the things that you did as an unsaved person when you were trying to go through life without a physical father, and then after that, without a spiritual father. You would have think you had enough of that. Because you see, once you grew up and were no longer under your father or your mother, then you started a phase in your life where you were under no one. And that's the mementos. That's all the things, all the mistakes you made. And some of us, some of those mistakes, we had to support them for 18 years. And let me tell you something, they don't go away after 18 years. They don't. They have a cruel, vindictive plan for you. They're going to go out and make other